This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, everybody, to episode 69 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam.
I'm Maya.
And I'm Diane.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
So, some quick announcements before we get started. This is going to be the last week you get a chance to play Jeopardy on episode 67 and submit your scores to us for a chance to compete on the show and try and win a Taylor Talk t-shirt. And speaking of the Taylor Talk t-shirts, there are only 3 extra larges left, so if that's your size, I would go to TaylorTalk.org really, really quickly and get it. All right, cool. Because I haven't done this in a long time, I have to do it, and Maya's going to be like,
How come I'm not going to be like,
Because you already know what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay. Share with the class.
All right. So, Maya.
Yes.
So, a blonde walks into a library and says to the librarian, "Can I have a burger and fries?" The librarian responds, "Sorry, this is a library." So, the blonde whispers, "Oh, sorry. May I have a burger and fries?"
That was slightly better than usual. I will give you that.
Funny.
That was like, I think you're improving slightly in your joke telling abilities.
He is, and I'm a blonde, but I love blonde jokes, so I'm totally cool with it. But yeah, that was funny. I liked it.
I thought it was a funny joke, but carrying on with the episode, Maya, can you give us the news, please?
Sure. We only have one news item this week, and that is that Taylor just hit 30 million followers on Twitter, which is a lot of people. That's crazy. And she tweeted, "In Vancouver, just realized you guys got my Twitter up to 30 million followers. So cool, considering I only tweet about my cat and food." Which is true. That is mostly what she tweets about. But that's why we love her.
Meredith pictures, food pictures. Videos
of her watching Titanic with Meredith.
Yeah.
And eating food,
yeah.
Cool, thanks for our brief news segment, Maya. All right, now for our tour update segment brought to you guys by T-Swift on Tour.
Hey guys, it's Sammy at SamIM1331 from T-Swift on Tour, here with your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Taylor had 3 shows in Canada this week, 2 in Edmonton and 1 in Vancouver. All 3 were stadium shows. Taylor premiered a 3rd new tour opener shirt in Edmonton on the 25th, where the secret song was White Horse. On the 26th in Edmonton, the secret song was Fearless. Both of those songs are repeats from previous Red Tour shows. In Vancouver, the secret song was Long Live, the first time she has played that song this tour. Taylor has the upcoming holiday week off from the tour, but has a few 4th of July performances, including one for the Macy's 4th of July Fireworks Spectacular. Her next show is on July 6th at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. That's your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Bye, guys. See you next week.
Cool. Thank you for that, Sammy. Remember, guys, if you want live tour updates as they're happening, go follow T-Swift on Tour on Twitter. So, Long Live. That was kind of cool that Sammy brought that up because it hasn't been done yet. And the tour is nearly over. It's over in September, just a couple months away. And I love Long Live. I wish I was there for it.
I think a lot of people have been wanting to hear that one for a long time. Like, I've seen a lot of tweets asking for that one.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like Taylor plays like the same 4 songs for that portion of the show. You know, she'll play our song, she'll play, you know, just kind of like the same thing. So I'm glad she changed it up and did something different.
Long Live still makes me cry every time I hear it.
Really?
Yeah.
You're such a sensitive man.
Such a sensitive soul.
Maya's like, no.
I don't.
Maya's like, I know Adam too well to think that.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go with a no comment over here.
All right, whatever. Since we skipped them last week, Maya, can you give us our first mini segment submission?
Sure. Our first one is from at MFDezTweet on Twitter. And they said, "You know you're a Swiftie when you feel like you never need to say Taylor's surname because everyone's supposed to understand you." I do that.
I do that too.
A lot.
Just like Taylor, Taylor, Taylor.
I think the sad thing is, though, that most of my friends have kind of figured it out by now. Like, I say Taylor and they get it.
That's not sad. That's how it should be.
I guess so.
All right, whatever. Anyway, Natalia emailed us the next one, and she said, you know you're Swiftie when your cousin, who hates Taylor, which I don't understand how that's possible, but anyway, your cousin who hates Taylor says, Taylor Swift can't sing. Then you tell her, oh, I'm sorry, do you have 7 Grammys, and are you selling out stadiums all over the world?
Probably not.
No.
This next one comes from Red T. Swift via email, and they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you find out that your boyfriend is cheating on you, so you go home and listen to Picture to Burn, Should Have Said No, and We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together for the next 3 hours straight. Note, this submission was not based on my personal experience, just so you know.
Okay, I was going to say, that's horrible if that happened to you, and I'm so sorry, but I'm really glad it didn't. But I know that's happened to other people.
Yeah, that is horrible, but I mean... The thing that I'm happy about with this person is that they are going straight to the songs that are angry and they're mad and they're like, I'm done with them.
Right, they're not being like sad about it. They're just getting pissed.
No, All Too Well in here.
That's what I would have done. I would have been like, I'm going to listen to White Horse. I'm going to listen to All Too Well and just sit in a corner and cry. But
I think when you've got cheating, you got to go straight for the angry songs.
Rawr!
Skip sad altogether, just go straight to angry.
Mix it up with like some Carrie Underwood, digging your key into his car.
Yeah, totally. All right, our next submission is from Emily via email, and she said, you know you're a Swiftie when you go to a Red concert and cry so hard and so loud that you have to be escorted out of the arena.
Really?
That's intense.
That is very intense.
But then you missed the concert.
I know, that's sad.
Aww.
I've seen some people, like, flip out, though. Like, there's always that one person who, like, just sees Taylor and falls to bits instantly.
Oh.
And, like, you just feel so bad for them because they can't even control it. But it's sweet, though, that they care so much.
This next one comes from FN Girling, so I guess fangirling from Twitter, and they say, you know you're Swiftie when you know more about the Swift family than your own family.
That sounds like me. I don't even know my own family tree.
Should work on that, Adam.
Eh, whatever. It is what it is. So the last one is a voicemail from Zoe. Let's hear from Zoe.
This is Zoe PJ, or Swiftie Z11 on Taylor Connect. You know you're Swiftie when the only good thing about moving to Cleveland is that now I may finally get to go to my first Taylor concert.
I don't think that's the only good thing about moving to Cleveland. It's also Paul Sidoti's hometown. That counts for something, right?
There must be cool things in Cleveland.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
They have that in Cleveland.
And that's a plus.
There must be exciting things. And hey, Taylor Swift
for a night. And Cleveland was actually the very first time I ever saw Taylor was at her show in Cleveland on the Speak Now tour.
So there you go.
It's a very special moment.
Good luck or something.
And at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when I was there, they had a Taylor dress in a Women in Music exhibit.
Ooh.
Which dress was it? Do you remember?
I don't know. Something with sparkles.
Oh, it's typical.
That does not narrow it down at all.
Well, then. Thank you for all those submissions, guys. Keep them coming in for future episodes, and we'd appreciate it. And, yeah, just send them in. That sounds good. Carrying on to our main discussion, it's something that we probably should have discussed last week. It was relevant last week, but we pushed it to this week because we did our interview with Clara from Feminist T Swift on Twitter. And that is Paper Doll by John Mayer, and whether or not it is, in fact, a response to Dear John and about Taylor Swift. So, starting off, I guess, let's kind of get at what Dear John is about briefly and what Paper Doll is about briefly so we can kind of compare the two. So does anyone have any thoughts?
Well, I would say Dear John is just about Taylor being hurt by this guy that she thought was going to be there for her but then wasn't. And then he actually ended up being a bad guy for her and just her kind of being sad about it, yes, but also realizing that she can be okay without him. I mean, but it's mostly kind of a sad, this guy wasn't that great type of song.
And of course, John interprets it to be about himself, John Mayer.
Well, I mean, it says Dear John, so that can either be about a guy named John or a generic title, you know, because a Dear John letter is a letter that you write to someone when you end the relationship.
What people in the army.
Yeah.
Or like, well, girlfriends of people in the army used to write Dear John letters to their significant others who are overseas to break up with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's the result of them meeting another person. So, I mean, in terms of timeline, does anyone remember offhand? Was there somebody that was like immediately back to back with John Mayer?
I don't think so.
The tone of the song matches that theory, because if that was the case, I don't think she would have written that song to be so sad, because she would have been like, hey, I found somebody else. This didn't work out with you, but I'm okay. But that wasn't the tone of the song at all.
She sounds kind of like upset and betrayed and angry, and I don't know.
Well, that's fine. I was just thinking about it and questioning it, because it, you know, a Dear John letter doesn't have to be because they found another person. It's just, no, it can be.
It's just,
so I was just trying
just
to
like
think
kind
and
of
brainstorm.
A breakup letter.
Yeah.
In general.
Exactly. And then Paper Doll. Like, let's talk about what that is about briefly and see if it kind of matches.
I mean, I think Paper Doll is also sort of like talking about a past relationship, and sort of it's less angry than Dear John, although there's definitely some hints of bitterness in there, I think.
Mm-hmm, for
but
sure.
But it's more sort of just, I feel like, I don't know, like it's like he is dissecting this other person and trying to like point things out about them, and I don't know, maybe trying to like make sense for himself of like why things went wrong. I don't know, but it's definitely less aggressive and dramatic than Dear John.
And they're both kind of metaphorical, because if we're talking about Dear John in the shape of a Dear John letter, you know, Paper Doll is, like Diane, you and I were talking about before we were recording, about how you thought Paper Doll was a very condescending term if it is about Taylor.
Yeah, because it just makes her sound like she's not really a person, like she's just made of paper, and it's like, okay, well, this is this thing that you can put nice clothes on and it becomes something that looks nice. But I mean, that completely ignores who Taylor is as a person and her personality. It's just like, oh, she looks good. Blah. Like it just doesn't, I don't think it was very nice. And I don't know if that's something that he was intending or what, but I mean, I definitely took it kind of the wrong way.
Well, if you look at what a paper doll is, it's a cheap toy. So if it is about Taylor, he's basically calling her a cheap toy that he gets to dress up and play with.
I mean, I don't know if he's saying it's like he gets to dress up and play with. I feel like it's more like a metaphor for like the way that her life is in general. It's like she's this paper doll that kind of other people take what they want and put it on her, and she becomes what they want her to be.
So you think John is actually putting her in a good light by calling her a paper
doll? I don't think it's a good light. I think it's like a analytical critical light. Like he's sort of, I don't think it's nice, but I don't think it's necessarily malicious either. I think he's kind of just making an observation about an element of the subject of this song, whether it is Taylor or not.
So would it be saying something more like the girl doesn't have control over herself and she's helpless in a way because she just lets these things happen to her and she can't decide who she is, so she just lets other people
kind of. I mean, there's also, you know, like the chorus, you're like 22 girls in one and none of them know what they're running from. It's like that she's, in his opinion, this person was obviously having some identity crisis. Mm-hmm. To begin with.
Do you think that's fitting of Taylor, though?
Yes. From things she said in interviews, especially about the way that she is with love and relationships, I think it makes sense.
Like, what certain things do you mean, though?
I mean, she's talked about how, like, she, I don't know, like, how she sometimes, like, with love, that it gets so confusing, or, like, that you can get so into a relationship that you become a different person. Or, like, I don't know, even when she posted that tweet, there was, like, a picture of a text to her brother where she talked about how, like, every couple of months she looks at the person she was a few months ago and, like, wonders why she thought that, that was a good person to be.
Oh, I remember.
You know, that's like crazy. She's kind of, I think she's sort of at that stage in her life where she, I mean, and like anyone at that age would be, where you kind of don't know who you are and you don't know what you want. And especially also the line about none of them know what they're running from. Like, she's talked a few times about having problems with running away from love. And she especially talked about that around, like, after Speak Now came out. So relating to those relationships that that album was written about, and Dear John would have been part of that.
You know what? You bring up an interesting point, Maya, in the fact that she doesn't really know who she is and things like that, because, and in the chorus, talking about you're like 22 girls in one, because that is one of the lines people speculate kind of implies that it's about Taylor, because it's 22 and it's her hit single 22. And
interestingly enough, any isn't number. 20...
Right, yeah.
Any number would have fit in that lyric, and he specifically picked 22.
Right, but what I'm getting at, though, is the theme of the song 22 itself is the fact that we're young, we're 22, we don't know where we're going yet.
Happy, free, confused.
And lonely at the
and
same
lonely
time.
And lonely.
Exactly, you don't know who you are at that point in your life.
Yeah, so like if it is about her, that like he's sort of, I don't know about criticizing, but analyzing, making observations about the way that she is and was, and maybe, I don't know how that... Maybe that had something to do with why it didn't work out.
Yeah, because the next line in the song is, was it just too far to fall for a little paper doll? So, I mean, that's almost saying, like, was this love between me and you too much for you that you couldn't handle it or you couldn't understand it, so you just decided to run?
Yeah. I mean, she was really young, too. Like, if this is about her.
Yeah, like, I think she was 19.
Yeah, she was 19 years old. So, like... It sort of makes sense, I think, in the timeline of her life that at that point, if it was some, like, intense thing, that she would have been kind of, like, you know, running away from it.
So why don't we try and figure out and break down some of the lines that people are saying makes this about Taylor, mm-hmm. and see if we kind of agree or disagree. Is anyone opposed to doing that?
Let's do it. Let's go through it.
Let's do it. So I think the first one is probably at the end of the first verse when he says, sure was fun being good to you. And I don't know. I guess that could be kind of a stab at the fact that, like, in Dear John, she is saying that he wasn't very good to her.
And I guess in his opinion, he did fine. But, I mean, I don't know. It is kind of, that line, I don't like it. It's so... It's very, like, condescending.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it's sarcastic in a way. Or, like, cocky or something. Like, sure was fun being good to you. Like, thanks for appreciating
me. Or it's like, I tried so hard and you ran away.
Yeah.
And so he's like, that's the bitterness that I was talking about before. Like, it sounds like after however many years it's been, he's still having issues.
Right. So, I mean, the 22 girls in one we just covered a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Not even, more like a few seconds ago. But we did cover that. Does anyone have anything else to say before we skip on to the next thing?
I mean, not really, except, yeah, we kind of covered it. Just it's obviously a relevant number in her life right now.
Right.
He literally could have picked anything else.
And the theme of the verse as well fits the theme of the song 22.
Yeah.
About being confused and whatnot. So next thing in the song people are saying is about Taylor is talking about fold a scarf Moroccan red.
Yeah, and tie your hair behind your head.
Yeah, Taylor references scarves a lot.
Well, last summer especially, she was wearing that red headband, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like a red bow scarf headband thing. She wore it, like, constantly.
Right.
So, I don't know, like, I immediately, when I heard the song the first time, like, I heard that line, and I, like, got images in my head of, like, her with, like, a red headband on. Like, she's worn that a lot. She has a few of them.
So does that mean John was, like, internet stalking her and looking at pictures
of Taylor
in those scarves?
I mean, honestly, like, at this point, it's a little bit difficult to, like, live your life and not see pictures of Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah, she's all over the place.
You know? Like, I don't know if he was necessarily sitting around, like, Googling her, but...
I mean, maybe he was.
Maybe. Or maybe he just, like, saw a picture randomly and she was wearing a red scarf on her head. I don't know.
Well, not to mention, nobody can think of the color red right now without thinking of Taylor.
Right, yeah, just the red.
That's her album. Relevant. That's one of the songs on the album. So that's actually two songs from her album that it references in this song. So yeah. That's kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, yeah, and like John could have picked like a blue scarf or a yellow scarf, but he picked red. So there must have been like meaning there's behind like a reason there. Choice.
And a very specific red at that, Moroccan red.
Yeah.
Also, not this... just like bright red or nice red or orange red.
Yeah, nice red.
Moroccan.
Well, that just sounds cooler to say, oh, it's Moroccan. It sounds more exotic and spicy.
Right. I didn't know also, a scarf could be spicy. Know.
This isn't really Taylor related, but like, I find that you should have kept my undershirt line like super like creepy. Like, every time I listen to the song, I feel uncomfortable. I mean, I guess that's good. Like, that's probably what he's going for.
Well, it...
But I feel like I, like, just got in the middle of something that I wasn't supposed to hear.
You're like, undershirt, you know? Wait, I'm not supposed like, to be in what? This room.
I don't know.
Well, it's, like, kind of a surprise, because he's, you know, he's saying stuff about scarves and high heels and dresses, and it's like, oh, suddenly there's an undershirt here. Like, it definitely shocks you.
Like, at the end of every... little verse, he suddenly gets bitter. Mm-hmm. I'm just noticing that.
Could it's be like, strategic.
Like, he just like, blah, 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 and then like, angry, bitter line. Like,
roar! Hey, John. Like,
calm down.
I am John Mayer, hear me roar.
Oh, jeez.
So, of course, the last line that probably is the strongest correlation between this song and Dear John is when he says, someone's gonna paint you another sky, which, just for background, Taylor's got a line in Dear John saying, you paint me a blue sky and go back and turn it to rain. So that's pretty close, and that is not just an expression someone uses talking about paint you a sky.
Yeah, that is very specific.
Yeah, no, that's that feels specific to me. Like, that was the line that sort of swayed me into thinking that this song could be about her, because it's just so close to Dear John and the things that she said about him. That's like, it's pretty obvious that he's sort of making a stab back.
Yeah, that's, I mean, because she says, you paint me a blue sky, and he's saying, someone's gonna paint you another sky. So
yeah, like, don't worry, someone else will do that.
Yeah, I'm done. So, I mean, that is pretty direct and to the point. Interestingly enough, though, well, before I actually move on to my next point that I was thinking, you know, Vanity Fair did an article where they actually found pictures of Taylor in each of the outfits described in this song, in Dear John's Paper Doll.
It's very diligent of them.
Yeah, they did their research, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to link to that article in the episode guide for episode 69 on TaylorTalk.org. Just in case anyone wants to check that out. But what I was about to say, though, is something that actually made me think that this song is about Taylor is actually nothing to do with the song itself, but just, I don't want to say dirty, it's actually rather genius marketing tactics. Because you remember not that long ago, John was in the news all talking about, Dear John humiliated me and this and that and whatever. And it was 2 years after the fact. And everyone's like, why is he coming out with this now? Why is he coming out with this now? And it just occurred to me that I think that was just sort of getting him some publicity because he was already working on this song. And now this song has taken off because it's got that news surrounding it, the press surrounding it. I never, ever, ever would have listened to this song. And it has nothing to do with John. You know, or I hate John because he was mean to Taylor. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just not a John Mayer fan to begin with. But because of all the press and media surrounding it, I listened to it.
So the talk and the gossip helps promote this song.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I think that is actually the reason why when everybody's like, why is he coming out about being humiliated by Dear John 2 years after the fact? I think this answers the question. He was trying to build up hype before he released this song.
Maybe he's like been sitting on this song for a while, and like because he got sick and everything, mm-hmm. you know, he couldn't release it, so then he needed to do something to make it relevant again.
Yeah, he's like, hey, remember that thing that happened 2 years ago? Well, I'm gonna start talking about it again.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I think it is, and that's actually what sealed the deal for me, why I do think it is in fact about Taylor. Nothing to do with the song itself, just mm-hmm. his tactics, and either John's a genius or he has a really good publicist behind him. Like, could I don't be know a little bit of both. Could be a little both.
So do we think it's about Taylor? I know you said now that you think it's about her.
I'm pretty convinced. There seems to be a solid amount of evidence. Unless John is, like, just throwing the whole world for a loop for fun.
Yeah, I think all signs point to, yes, it is about Taylor, but of course, like, there's no way that we can say that it...
Right, we can't be sure.
Yeah, there's no way that we can be sure unless John comes out and say, like, hey, you should listen to the song that I wrote about Taylor Swift. It's called Paper Doll.
Right.
Yeah, so just turning real quick to some opinions that we got submitted on Twitter, which actually came in like a week ago, but you know, we ended up skipping this discussion and saving it for this week. Sorry guys, but we are still using these. Is from Twitter, we got at Heidi Lucy 13 when asked the question, is it about Taylor? Yes, I'm literally convinced it is. The red scarf, 22, and someone to paint another sky, or something along those lines, is a Dear John reference, if you ask me. Agreed. I think we went over that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all agree with that. And at Hansy_31 said, I don't understand why it matters. I like it. I don't care who it's about. Just like I don't care whose Taylors are about. I thought that was interesting.
See, she's not saying it's not about Taylor. She's just saying she doesn't care if it is.
Yeah, she just likes the song for what it is and see, like, the melody.
There's not, no one is saying that they don't think it's about her.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be kind of hard to argue that it wasn't, because I didn't see any lines where we could say, like, oh no, that line's about, I don't know, like, some other celebrity. Like, it just seems like it could be about her.
Something, a response we got I thought was interesting was at Hannah Unicorn 13 said, it seems to be about her. I like it, but it's no match for Dear John. So in terms of just favorites, what do you guys prefer? Which song?
I find Paper John. Oh my God.
Paper now Doll, you're just combining the two.
I just made them into one song. I find Paper Doll easier to listen to. I feel like Dear John is very intense and very long, and it kind of drags me down. I mean, beautiful, well-written song. I just personally, I enjoy listening to Paper Doll more.
Yeah, I think Dear John is like an emotional, like, experience. And John Mayer's song is a little bit more mellow. It's something that you can, you know, listen to and appreciate the emotion behind it, but not get so wrapped up in it, I guess. Like, it's a little bit more simple and you could be distant about it.
Yeah, you can sort of just listen to it. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, I remember on Speak Now Tour, like, when Taylor would go to start singing Dear John, I was like, oh boy, here we go. Like, it's like this emotional journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was a great performance. It takes like 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah, with the fireworks?
That no, awesome. I mean, at the end with the fireworks, that was fine. But leading up to that, it was like, oh, it was like dragging you down.
So I'm still scrolling through the Twitter mentions in response to that comment.
Yeah.
Or the question, rather. And something I really like is I just found at Matt_Murphy96 said, it seems like something typical that John Mayer would do to get attention. And I think that speaks directly into what I was just saying about how he was using publicity to his advantage.
Like, do you think that him releasing a song about whatever, potentially about Taylor at all, is like more about publicity than about like him, like, whatever, being honest and sharing his feelings?
I think it is. I think it's about sales at this point, because mm-hmm. Taylor's how old? 23?
Mm-hmm.
23.
So 23 now. She was 19 when it happened. Now you're talking 4 years after the fact, after the actual event. Taylor came out with Speak Now in, what, 2011 or something?
10.
10? 2010.
Her songs come out in even years.
Well, I just, everything having to do with Taylor all blends together for
it's
me
like
at this point.
It's like 2006, 2008, 2010, 2012.
Yeah, so, I mean, she put it out on her next album. Why is John Mayer waiting till 4 years after they dated, and conveniently within a couple months of him coming in the news and being like, wah, 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 she humiliated me.
Right, but to be fair, didn't he have throat surgery or something going on?
Yeah.
And he couldn't he couldn't release anything.
He was sick for a while. But it has been still, like, a significant amount of time since the relationship even happened.
I think Matt on Twitter's right. I think it is just an attention-getting ploy.
I mean, it definitely worked. Like, I remember when the song came out, I got on Twitter and I saw these people being like, oh, like, this new song, Paper Doll, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what even is this? And I go and I Googled it, and, like, every single celebrity news outlet has an article about how John Mayer's new song is about Taylor Swift, and here's all the reasons why.
Well, what it comes down to is Taylor Swift sells.
Right. So, like, on John's part, it is a very good marketing tactic. I applaud his business.
It is. Savvy. And everybody, including those news media outlets, are using her to their advantage to sell their product. Yeah. So why should John do any differently?
Right. He's just jumping on the train.
Yep. So basically, what we're learning here is if you want to be a famous artist, you need to write a song about Taylor Swift and get people to talk about it.
I mean, that's kind of what, I mean, well, Taylor didn't really do that, but, you know, using other people's names.
All right, here it goes.
To get attention.
Dear Taylor.
Okay, no. Mm-mm. Oh, no. That's, no, no, no. That's not happening.
I'm going to get a record deal on that one.
No, you're not.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Can't wait to see the lyrics, Adam.
You go get that record deal, and then you show it to me.
All right, cool. So, just wrapping up the discussion on Paper Dolls versus Dear John, I already expressed my opinion. I do, in fact, think it is about Taylor. So, Maya, what do you think? What's your final word?
I mean, like we said before, there's no being 100% certain, but I think that the various evidence that we discussed points to a probably yes.
You sound like Sherlock Holmes. You're like, according to the evidence.
I'm using deductive reasoning or something. That's what Sherlock Holmes does, right?
That is.
Anyways.
Diane?
I'm going to agree with Maya / Sherlock Holmes in that one.
Cool. So the eyes have it. Paper Dolls is most likely about Taylor Swift.
Yay.
So moving on to something kind of fun, we're going to go with another round of Stump Our Hosts. Who wants the first question?
I'll take it.
All right. Today's questions were submitted by Yesenia, who emailed us and asked the first question, what are Taylor's favorite colors? Colors, plural.
Purple and blue?
Purple and white.
White?
Oh, sorry. I should have given you a chance first, Maya. Did you know that?
I mean, probably not.
I knew it was purple.
Purple, everybody knows. And interestingly enough, I did fact check this before the episode, and there are interviews that in which Taylor says white.
She used to say white when she was like 16, and then when Speak Now came out, she was saying purple, and now that Red came out, she says red all the time. So, like, I don't know.
I guess it depends on her mood.
Yeah.
I guess so. So, next question. Let's see if we can stump Maya.
Okay.
Maya.
Uh-huh.
What is Taylor's shoe size?
Eight and a half?
That's correct. It is 8.5.
Oh my gosh, is it really?
Why do I know that?
Maya, you're a creepy stalker.
Oh, goodness.
That's my shoe size. We can share shoes.
Cool, D.
Can we make that happen?
You just want Taylor Swift shoes.
Yes.
The next Taylor concert you go to, make a poster that says, can I have your shoes?
Except for I can't walk in heels, and she wears a lot of heels right now.
Maybe she'll give you some of her Oxfords.
Ooh, I would appreciate that.
Like the red ones with the sparkles on them?
Yes.
Maybe some Keds.
Oh, yeah, Keds.
That would be a good product placement.
Everybody go buy Keds shoes. This episode of Taylor Talk is not actually brought to you by Keds, but we're plugging them anyway.
But it would be cool if it was.
All right, before we wrap it up, we got a submission for What Are Swifties Listening To? And Zoe emailed us and suggested everybody listens to a song by Jessica Andrews called Who I Am. And just to give you guys some background, it's actually an older song. The album was released in 2001, so 12 years ago. But when I listened to it, I did find it to be kind of Taylor-esque in the sense that it's, or early Taylor, rather, in the sense that it's got a little bit of a country sound to it. And it's sort of autobiographical. It talks about the people surrounding her, specifically in this song, her family. And it kind of reminded me of Taylor's song...
The Best Day?
Yeah, The Best Day, where she talks about her family and describes them. Thank you for filling in my sentence for me.
You're welcome.
But did you guys get a chance to listen to it yet?
I heard this song a couple weeks ago, because if any of you watched The Voice, then you heard it too, because Daniel Bradbury performed it, and it was like, it was awesome. And then she just won the show, and now she has a record deal with Big Machine.
With Big Machine.
So,
oh, hey.
Yeah, the Jessica Andrews version is good, and Danielle's version of it is also really good. And it's a cute, fun, it's just like a cute kind of heartwarming country song. It definitely sounds a bit like earlier Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cute. Maybe that's how Danielle got the record deal with Big Machine. They're like, oh, another young Taylor.
We'll that girl's it. Amazing. She's such a good singer. This is totally off topic, but that girl's awesome.
It's not really off topic. Anybody in the Big Machine family gets to get plugged on Taylor Talk, right?
Yeah, I know. Danielle, like, the whole season, she's like baby Taylor. It's so cute. They even put her in, like, the cowboy boots and the little glittery dresses.
Oh.
It's adorable.
So while we're at it, go listen to Danielle, too, the newest member of the Big Machine family.
Yeah.
Ah. I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have anything else to say? Any words of wisdom for everyone else?
Words of wisdom.
Keep being awesome and listen to Taylor Talk.
That was very inspirational, Diane.
No, that really wasn't. That was terrible.
I thought you were going to say don't forget to be awesome. And I was, gonna
I was
excited,
going to, but I didn't think anybody would get it.
I would get it, but I don't know if anyone else would.
Can you fill me in on that one?
John Green and Hank Green, Adam. Remember those guys I always talk about?
This is a Vlogbrothers Nerd Fighters thing.
Yes.
We're internet nerds. It's fine.
Don't forget to be awesome, guys.
Cool. So, guys, remember to keep submitting for all the mini segments. You have all the various ways to contact us. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. You can leave us a voicemail, American and Canadian listeners can leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 24031SWIFT. The rest of the world can leave a voicemail directly on taylortalk.org. And of course, if you love us, please give us a nice rating on iTunes and a review. Tell us how much you love us, because we'd appreciate it. So for episode 69, guys, it's time to say bye-bye. This has been Adam.
Maya.
And Diane.
Saying have a great week, guys. We will see you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye. This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.